Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in. Bless the saints tonight. Bless all those that have tuned in. Take this opportunity to text and email and tell others that we are on the air. Bishop is no longer on vacation. And there is a word from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord. Amen. All right, then. Let's bow our heads and pray because I'm ready to get right into this. As you can imagine, Father in heaven, we are honored to represent you by preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom. We ask for a specific and particular anointing to reach the hearts of your people that we might be changed for time and eternity. Bless us in this endeavor and allow your anointing to envelop, change, and transform lives for time and eternity again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to continue my teaching from a message that we started Father's Day entitled Our Father in Heaven. This is part two of Our Father in Heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, King James, Jesus is speaking. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Jesus says, your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven knows that you have need of these things. And then verse 33, one of the famous, well-known scriptures in the Bible, seek ye first, Jesus says, but seek ye first. Jesus is still speaking. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? The things the Gentiles were seeking after shall be added unto you. Now, to understand God as our Heavenly Father changes how we think, it changes how we act, and it changes how we pray or how we communicate with God. Understanding God, growing in our understanding that God is our Father, again, it changes how we think. It changes how we think. It changes how we act, how we behave, and it changes how we pray, which is how we communicate with God. It changes how we approach God with our needs. We people, healthy relationships, father, son, children, father, they approach their father with needs differently than they do a stranger, a friend, a cousin, or a neighbor. Because the understanding that this is my father, I approach him with my need differently. That's my father. Understanding God as father also changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see ourselves. Because when we understand God as Father, we realize the Father's love for us is so great, it then changes how, watch this now, it changes how we see our value to God. That's a good one right there. It's a good one right there. What am I saying? Some of us need to change how we see ourselves and how valuable we are to God. Somebody needs to know you are extremely valuable to God. He's your father. Children are valuable to their father. And I know there's so many different paths and streams I could go down with that statement, but a lot of that was addressed in the previous message. So go back and listen to that, get that, and get that in your spirit. Understanding, a good, healthy understanding of God as Father changes how we value ourselves. We see ourselves more valuable when we recognize and understand God is our Father. Jesus said very plainly in previous verses, we are more valuable than birds. Jesus says, you running around trying to get, you know, worrying about what you're going to eat and drink and what you're going to wear. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't have jobs. They don't have bank accounts. But your Father in heaven cares for them. He provides for them. He says, aren't you more valuable than birds? You, as a child of God, are more valuable than birds. And birds are playful, but they don't worry about food because they have a God that provides for them. You and I need to understand, watch this now, God is not just our creator, he is also our Father. Write that down. He's not just our creator, he's our Father. And Jesus said, we're more valuable than birds. Why? Because God is not just our creator, he's our Father. And as our Father, he highly values us. I want to just speak against that spirit of low self-esteem that you've been carrying around. Somebody's been carrying it around because the this and that or the other, how you were raised, the conditions under which you were raised and how you were abused. I come against that in the name of Jesus and the love of God, your Father. You are valuable to God because you are his child. We are, those of us that are born again, we are his children. Jesus goes on to say in the previous verses that how many of us, by worrying, thinking about it, can add 1 hour to our life? Think about that for a second. No matter how hard we try, we cannot add any more time to our lifespan. That right there could be a message in and of itself. No matter what we do, we cannot add, no matter what man says, you and I cannot, no one can add an extra moment or hour to their life without the permission of their Heavenly Father, of course. Then Jesus says, excuse me, he says, consider the lilies of the field. Look how beautiful they are. Watch this. Jesus says, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed in such beauty as they are. What else is Jesus trying to tell us? There is a glory on us, made in the image and likeness of God. There is a glory on us from God that is undeniable. I don't care what how tall you are. I don't care your shape. I don't care your color. There is a glory from God your Father on your life. I want you to square your shoulders and keep your head reared, erected, straight. Don't walk with your head down. Don't have low self-esteem. Don't see yourself as worthless. There is a glory on you that is from your Father that you need to connect with, you need to identify with, and you simply need to just flat out accept. There's glory on my life. Why don't you just tell yourself, there's glory on my life. Amen. From your Heavenly Father. There's glory on you. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. There's glory on you. This is what Jesus is telling us. The world runs around trying to be fashionable. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with looking good. But we can't be so worried about how we look that we forget how we're made and who made us. Amen. So we're talking about gaining an understanding of God as our heavenly Father. Jesus said, take no thought for our lives. That simply means stop worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Stop worry. If you are a child of God, please hear the teacher tonight. Stop worrying about if you're going to make it. You are simply going to make it because your Father is in heaven. And because your Creator, hear this, is also your Father, whatever He created for us in the beginning, He can create it for us again. God can create what you need, or He can send someone with what you need. Either way it goes, your Heavenly Father, Jesus says, knows what you and I need before we even ask. Oh, yes, Lord, before we even ask Him. The Creator of everything is your daddy. The Creator of everything is your Father. Who in the world would worry about anything if the Creator of everything is your daddy? There are people right now listening, watching. Some of you would shout, fall out on the floor if you found out Jeff Bezos was your father. Ooh, Bezos. You would have a party because your daddy is a billionaire. Some of you watching would just fall out if you found out LeBron James was your cousin. Oh, I'm finna get something from cuz. I know he gonna be. But see, again, if you feel that way about a human being and your relationship with another human, how much more should you feel about God, the Father in heaven, being your Father? How much more excited, how much more at peace, how much more at rest should you and I be when you realize God, the Creator of everything, is your Heavenly Father? Oh, rest in that right there. Hallelujah. Rest in that right there. This is why Jesus says, take no thought. Why worry about what you're going to eat, drink? And your Heavenly Father already knows you need it, and He already provided it for you. He's the Creator of everything. But then Jesus drops this truth, this, I'll call it a word bomb. You know, Jesus is the Word. And so He uses words as effectively or more effectively than anyone ever could. So He drops a word bomb on us. He drops a powerful truth in the middle of Him encouraging us. You got to pay attention when you read the scriptures. You got to watch Jesus. He's full of wisdom and knowledge, and He's trying to wake up our hearts and minds. And so Jesus says, the real question is not what you're seeking. The real question is, who are you seeking? What are you really want? Do you really want stuff? Is stuff your priority? Or is a relationship with your God your priority? The question is, what do you really want? Do you want a relationship with God, your Father, or do you want some thing, a thing? You know, some people only hook up and get close to people because they want something from them. They really don't want to know them. They don't want to have an ongoing relationship. They just want what you have. They want, oh, Lord, let me move on. I don't want to stir up anything yet. I'm going to take my time here. So Jesus drops this word bomb and says in the middle of this discourse, but in Matthew 6:33, but first word, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, God is your Father. He knows everything you need before you ask. He's daddy. Oh, that's comforting. That's so comforting. And I explained it. It took about 10 minutes or so to explain that. That's comforting. But then Jesus says, but He's your daddy, but he's your father in heaven. But what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So Jesus is saying, before you think about getting everything you need and get your needs met, you need to understand something about your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus is. But the word but, B-U-T, but is a conjunction in grammar. Got a lot of educators that attend this church. They know what I'm talking about. But is a conjunction. It's used to indicate the impossibility of anything happening other than what's indicated. But this that I said before can't happen until what I'm saying now happens. But I'm going to take you to the store, but you're going to pay me for gas, which means I'm going to take you. But first, the first thing that needs to happen, you need to pay for some gas. No gas, no takey. And this is what Jesus is saying. We've read this, we've quoted it, we've sung it. But I wonder, do we really understand what Jesus said when he says, but hold up, hold tight, homie. Before you get all your needs met, before you get all these things that you need to understand that your Father in heaven wants you to seek him first. Seek God first. We don't hear these type sermons. I grew up hearing these type of sermons. I grew up hearing God first. You don't hear that like we used to, because we live in the last days and folks just downright selfish. Even in the church, folk all about they self. Even now, more people go to church to get what they want to get out of it. You don't go to church to serve God. You go to church because you like what they have, what they offer you, what you can get out of it. Not what God can get out of it, but what you, oh yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm smiling and I love you, but I'm talking to you. Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then you can get all these things. Then the Father will provide all these things. Then your Creator will act like your Father. Oh, did you hear that? Then the Creator will act like your Father. This is what we've been needing. This is what many that are watching and will watch will need. You don't just need God to be your Creator. You need him to be your Father. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands right now and say, God in heaven, father me. Hallelujah. Father me. But is a conjunction, but it's also a preposition. It's also a preposition. A preposition, this word but means except. It's an exception. All these things will be added except you make God your Father, except you put him first. We have to put, my Lord, I feel this strongly. We have to put God first. After Jesus, after reminding us the Creator is our Heavenly Father, who knows everything we need before we need it, Jesus says, but he knows what you need before you, but hold up. It ain't that simple. Wait a minute. You need to understand, in order for him to meet all your needs, you need to put him first. I'm talking to somebody. You love God. That is not a question. You serve God. That also is not in question. You gave your life to Jesus Christ. That also is not in question. What is in question is he first? See, you can love God and love your husband more, or your wife more, or your job, or your career, or money, or fame, or followers. You can love education more. There's a whole lot of things you can love more than God. You can love God and love other things more than God. Jesus says that won't work. That ain't gonna cut it. You have to love the Lord. We have to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he must be first. God must be first in our lives. It won't matter much. Hear me. It won't matter much that God saved you if you don't put him first. Could this, I submit this to you, I propose this to you. Could this be why so many people that love God are struggling? Because he's not first. Notice, I'm not questioning whether you love God. He's just not loved the most. He's just not first. Everything else comes first. Then you pray. Then you study. Then you read the Bible. Then you go to church. Then you say, everything, I got to do this first. Everything else that you love along with God comes before God. Jesus says, that ain't gonna work. Again, but, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. God will just add these. Daddy will just give these things to you that everybody else in the world is working to bust their brain and bust their butts to get. God, the Father, will just give it to you. Oh, hallelujah. Your daddy wants to give you more than what you have, but you have to change your attitude and your heart concerning him. You have to change it. We can't, again, I gotta say this. We can't put marriage first. You can't love your spouse more than you love God. You can't say, he or she knew I was a Christian when I got married, but I just want to stay with him and he don't want to go to church anymore and he wants me to be a Hebrew Israelite and he wants me to be whatever. And so I'm just because I love him. No. You are messing up. You're telling God he's not your father. You're telling him you don't want him to father you because you will not put him first. You put your marriage first. You can't even put your family first. You got folk, I haven't thought about this in years. I remember back when I was working, I used to communicate with several believers, as you would imagine. And I'll never forget this one sister, love God, good on her job, all that. She told me, I'll never forget it. Never forget it. She said she tithes to her grandmother. That's how she tithes. Yeah, I take care of my grandmama. I don't put all that money in church. That's my tithe. You can't change the tithe into what you want it to be. You don't love, you love your grandmama more than you love God. It's just, and you can't, we cannot love our marriages. We can't love our families. We can't put our job first. We can't put our career first. We got some wonderful folk that love God all over the world, but your career, ooh, you felt that, didn't you? I could even go further because you felt it. Your career is your God. You love your career more than you love God. You're on an upward trajectory and you wouldn't dare stop. And they know it. So they call you and they work you to bump to the bone and you barely have enough time to serve God because your career is first. Can't put education first. Can't put making money first. We got a lot of folk do that. America, man, put making money first. That's why money is your God. Mammon is your God. And then you can't put your country first. We got folk that put the country before they put God. And many of them don't know it. That's why I got to say it. And many more have to teach it. You love this country more than you love God. So you're in danger of not being fathered by God because he must be first. Write that in bold letters. God must, underscore the word must. He must. It's not an option. He must be first. Notice what the first commandment of the 10 commandments says. The first of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is what God told Israel, and it rings true throughout all time and eternity. I know people don't believe the Ten Commandments are relevant today. That is not true. The first commandment in the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse number 3. God wasn't playing then, and he ain't playing now. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to call him God and want him to be your father, he must be first. There can be no other gods before him. The Targum Jonathan reads the same verse this way. Thou shalt have no other gods before my face. God says, don't put another god in my face. Come on. Come on. You know your girlfriend don't play that. If she got good sense, don't bring no another girl up in my face. My man, don't bring it up. Don't bring that brother. God says, don't bring another god before my. If I'm supposed to be God, then let me be God to you. But don't dare bring another god before my face. Write this down. God doesn't tolerate rivals. God doesn't tolerate rivals. How many times did God send a prophet to Israel? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. But don't bring Baal in God's face. Dagon, the Philistine god, fell over on his face, the statue of it did, because it couldn't stand in the presence of God, because God doesn't tolerate rivals. My brothers and my sisters, it must be God first and foremost forever in our lives. I'm gonna say it again. It must be God foremost and forever in our lives. It must be God foremost and forever in our lives. It must be God foremost and forever in our lives. Forever we worship him and him alone. Forever he has my devotion. Forever, forever and foremost, God has got me. That's the attitude and the mentality of someone that puts God first. Jeremiah 25, 6 reads, do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, God says, or provoke me to anger. You don't want to provoke God. He can't function as your loving father if you keep putting other gods in front of him. You're provoking him. He can't treat you as a loving child because you're rebellious and wicked and hard-headed because you got false gods in your life and you're provoking him. Let's stop provoking God to wrath and let's put him first. Let's put him first. He says, you provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. God says, then I will do you harm. I can't bless you. I got to punish you. I got to discipline you. I want to bless you. I want to do these things for you, but you won't let me because you won't put me first. Jesus said all these things, the Gentiles see, fame, fortune, wealth, comfort. This is what people are seeking today instead of God. Jesus is comparing Gentiles. Hear this now. Write this down. Jesus is comparing Gentiles, which we have to call them non-kingdom citizens, with kingdom citizens, his children. He's comparing non-kingdom citizens. You're not a part of the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. If you're not in the kingdom, you're not a citizen of the kingdom, and you're not a child of his. Non-citizen kingdoms seek worldly acceptance. Yeah, you can tell if you're in the kingdom because you want God's approval. You can tell if you're in the world because you want the world. You want everybody to like you in the world. And you do everything you do, most of what you do is to get people in the world to like you. You can't take it if the world don't like you. You can't take it. So you are politically correct. You would never say anything, particularly during this ungodly so-called Pride Month. You would never say anything against the LGBTQ alphabet people. You would never say anything against that, call it a sin, because you want to be accepted. You want to get a movie role. You want to get a deal. You want to get that job. So you're going to go along with the world because you want to please the world. See, but if you're a kingdom citizen and God is your father, you want to please him. So I got to please God. And God, let me I'm going to get to this and let the word speak for itself, because there's some scriptures that are just very basic that it's just, it's clear. I mean, wow. I mean, let me just, I got a little bit more time. Yeah. I mean, it, you got to catch this stuff. We celebrate Christmas, Christ's Mass, the birth of Christ, one day. And gays get a whole month. The a whole month. Father's Day, in the middle of Father's Day. Or with Father's Day in the middle. There's something's wrong. You got to see this. See it for what it is. Kingdom citizens seek to please the king. You're living in his kingdom. Who else are you going to seek to please? See, again, and I don't have a whole lot of time, but this is one of the reasons, and again, the late, great Miles Monroe used to say this all the time. Him having been raised in an island under colonial rule, he understands kingship and kingdom. Most of us here in America, born and raised under democracy, we don't understand kingdom. We don't understand a king being sovereign. The word of the king is power, and the Bible says. We don't understand that. So we approach... We approach the gospel and the word of God democratically, which means we can vote it in, vote it out. That's all. Yeah. We can veto God in America, in a democracy. But in a kingdom, whatever the king says, that's it. And so this is why we're missing some things here. So again, as children of God, we are citizens, also citizens of the kingdom of God. He is our king and our father. Our father is the king. How embarrassing is it for children of the king to act unruly and rebellious? See, our understanding of God as our father is revealed by our attitudes and our behavior. You can tell somebody that's a child of God by how they think and how they behave. Now, what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is not a message directed at unsaved people. How can they be? The kingdom, Pastor Cam taught this not too long ago, the kingdom of God has a culture of its own. America has a culture different than that of European countries. The kingdom of God has a culture different from the world. Write this down. The kingdom of God has a culture of righteousness. That's what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The culture of the kingdom of God is righteousness. Doing what God says is right. Doing what pleases God is right. That's the culture of the kingdom. We can't get in the kingdom and then say it's righteous to have keep having babies out of wedlock. You can't say that is the culture of the kingdom, because that's not right. First Corinthians 6:9. I'm gonna shut it down. I think everything has been said pretty plainly, clearly.
these two scriptures should just be the cherry.
1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10. Paul is speaking, who is a citizen of the kingdom, who is an apostle in the kingdom of God, who is sent to reveal the righteousness of God. Paul says, those of us that are genuinely, authentically called by God, the King, we are stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. Here is something that Paul uncovers, so it's no longer a mystery. So it's no longer mysterious. So it is clearly known by all that seek to be in the kingdom and all who seek to have God the Father, the God their heavenly Father. Anyone that seeks to have God, the Creator, as their heavenly Father, here is what you need to know. Here is what is antithetical or opposite to the kingdom culture. Here it is. Do you not know? Paul is talking to believers. Don't you know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Boom. Same thing Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. Paul says, I'm going to go a little bit further. Paul says, don't be deceived. This is what the enemy has been doing for millennia. Don't be deceived. Neither sexually immoral. That's not considered righteousness. That's not considered part of the kingdom culture. Sexual immorality. Excuse me. Idolaters, idol worshipers, people that have other gods. We know that. God said it in Exodus 23 to Israel. Jesus says it. You cannot have another God or other gods. There has to be one God in your life, and he has to be first, and that must be Jehovah God. So Paul says, nor adulterers, people that get married and have intimate sexual relationships with other married or non-married people and expect to stay married or stay married and act as if they are righteous. That is not right in the sight of God, to be married and give yourself to other women or men. You need to know that. God won't respond to you as your heavenly Father. You were provoking him. He goes on to say, nor men who practice homosexuality. Don't let people fool you and say, there's nothing about homosexuality in the Bible. Jesus didn't say anything. Yes, he did. Jesus said, those, oh God, I don't have time for that right now. Because let's stay right here. Let's stay right here. We're talking about keeping God first and the things that prove he's not first. Here it is. Men who practice homosexuality, verse 10, thieves, nor greedy people. Greedy. You never get enough. He goes on to say, or drunkards, you stay drunk or high or intoxicated on something. Then he says, nor revilers. Now, obviously, there are numbers of Bible translations, and I could have used anyone to clearly reveal what this word means. I'm just going to tell you, because I think it's important today, and this word just kind of jumped out at me when I was doing my study. Paul says, a reviler. What is a reviler? A reviler is a person who uses abusive words to attack, tear down, and destroy other people. Social media is full of revilers. Even so-called Christians have become revilers. Listen carefully. Please hear me. There are some there are some wild and crazy, ungodly ideas being promoted on the internet. People can say some things that inflame you and make you very angry. They can be ridiculous, stupid, all those things, and you feel like you have to respond. I get it. But what I'm trying to say to you, be careful that you don't become one of those persons that are so upset about unrighteousness and wickedness that you in turn become a reviler. Got to be real careful about that, because that could interrupt and will interrupt your relationship with your Creator manifesting as your Father. Because now you become a reviler. You attacking everybody that's not God and not right and off and false prophecy. And no, don't do that. Don't become a reviler. Then Paul goes on to say, swindlers. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. Swindlers. These types of behaviors are not righteous. So you're not keeping God first if you're doing and consistently doing any of these things. No one who practices these lifestyles are children of God. And God is not your father, and therefore God is not obligated to meet all your needs. He lets the sun shine on the evil and the good. He brings rain. He's just, that may be all you can expect. So we need to understand that anyone who enjoys the culture of man, the culture of the world, culture is what man creates in a particular place that continues because people enjoy it and it becomes a part of their lifestyle in that region, which is the culture. Anyone that loves the culture of man and not the kingdom of God or the culture of the kingdom cannot be a kingdom citizen, and God cannot be their father. The kingdom of God is what the children of God inherit, just like the children of Mr. Jones inherit Mr. Jones's estate. My last scripture, and I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to go home. Well, you're already at home. I'm going to go home. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. Everyone that believes Jesus is the Christ, I believe it says in the King James, Christ just means Messiah. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. Everyone who loves the Father also loves his children. If I am a child of God, if I claim God as my father, and you're a child of God, and you claim God as your father, you have to love me, and I have to love you. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, then we're both born of God. And if that is true, then you have to love me and I have to love you. Now, why is that important? Why am I saying that, as elementary as that sounds? Let me add something to that statement. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and you're white, and you're Republican, and you're from a deep South state, and your family has a long list of lineage in the Ku Klux Klan, and you don't love me, then maybe God in heaven is not your father. Conversely, If there is an African American, a black man, who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, is born of God, but you hate white people because of what you've seen them do over the decades, just to your family, and the stories you heard going back 100 years done to your family, but you go to church and you believe Jesus is the Messiah, but you hate white people? A white brother that believes that Jesus is the Messiah? I gotta wonder, you have to ask yourself, is God in heaven really your father? Because we have to love each other because we got the same daddy. We have the same father. What's wrong today with us? Why is it so easy to claim to be a Christian, to claim that God is your father in heaven, and you have so much hatred in your heart for other people who claim God is their heavenly father? Let's do some soul searching. Let's turn this around. There's never been a more critical time than now to do it. Bow your heads. Father, we call you Father. In churches all across the world, and certainly in America, from the East Coast to the, my God, to the West Coast, from the North to the South to the Midwest where we are. And yet, there's hatred in our hearts towards another brother or sister who prays and calls you Father. Help us today by your Spirit. We're sorry. Help us to see the error of our ways, because Jesus made it clear that we have to seek first your kingdom, your face, your righteousness. You have to be first. Not our color, not our geographic location, not our political affiliation, not our religious denomination. You have to be first in order for our needs to be met. There's so many suffering right now, lacking basic needs, quite possibly because they've never made you first. Help us to make that change for your glory, for time and eternity, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing your time with us. We pray that it was valuable time, that it was time well spent, that you got to know your Father in heaven more, that you got to realize you need him to be more than creator. You need him to be your Father, and how important it is for us to keep that in our heads and in our hearts. Amen. Well, bless God. As always, thank God for you. Please take the opportunity to use one of the options at the bottom of the screen to support this ministry. We thank God for your faithful support. This is a blessed house. This is good ground to sow in, and you already know it because God has been blessing you. Well, until next time, God bless you with his peace.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.